watch. What you wanna watch.
This message today is brought to you by...
Marijuana.
No, it's brought to you by Sidewalk Talkies.
Sidewalk Talkies, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that is an interesting little... Welcome to the pod.
Welcome. I'm not done with my
Is this preamble? I don't understand.
No.
So, I'm sorry.
Talkies. Good for your mouth, bad for your butthole.
Tuculo. Not good for your culo.
No bueno for tuculo.
No, it's bad.
You know, it's bad when you've had too many and you're worried that you might have just... bled through your butthole.
It's just the red dye, isn't it? It's does it hurt or is
it? Well, I don't know. There's been a point when it might have hurt, but it could also be because I finished a whole bag.
You just had too many chips.
Oh, yeah.
To begin with.
That's like, it's like anything. If you have too much of anything, it's bad.
That's fair. Moderation. Well, yeah.
But yeah, Takis. JK, they didn't pay us. I'm just giving them a free...
No, honestly, like, I could not have given less support to Takis to get that bag, because I was literally walking a dog and found the bag just on the sidewalk, unopened. There was nobody around than me.
The best part was that I had just... I don't know if this just happened.
No, like, literally 5 minutes later, Adriana texts me and says, God, I need chips so bad right now. I don't even care, like, if it's gonna shred my butthole.
Mm-hmm.
That,
yep.
Yeah, you but, got your dream.
Yeah, Takis.
I did
you.
Little work, and... It was
drinks.
It just,
you know,
like I walked up and found something that you wanted.
The point of the story is that dreams come true.
Very true. Very true. What a great way to bring up our our next guest of the pod. Just kidding. Our next thing to discuss. But I guess before we do that, we should talk about who we are, maybe introduce ourselves, spark up this junto.
Yes, please.
All right.
I'm
welcome.
Adriana.
I was going to say, hi, everyone.
Just
welcome
so
to the
excited
pod.
To say who I was.
This is Netflix Has No Chill. And as you heard a minute ago,
I'm Adriana.
I'm Zach. And should we use our last names ever?
No.
Jeez.
Don't reveal your secret identity.
Everybody's going to know because it'll be like your Facebook page. We're going to be sharing this with people who know us personally.
No, they don't need to know me intimately.
They'll never know our last
names. Only the people who know me intimately will know my last name.
Well, excellent.
Yes.
That's great. Welcome to the pod. Thanks for listening. The thing that we are reviewing today, the piece of content on Netflix where there is no chill, is called My Next Guest Needs an Introduction with David Letterman.
That's
which is
a
why
long
I forgot
title.
It, because it's a terrible title.
Like,
I get that he says that,
mm-hmm.
But like, come on.
But it could have just been My Next Guest.
Yeah, just call it My Next Guest with David Letterman.
Great.
Or...
But My Next Guest Needs No Introduction with David Letterman.
Yeah.
How many syllables is that?
I don't want to count. That's
too
a lot.
Many. And I love when you count, because you're so good at it. But...
Got a degree in it. Counted.
And I just can't count for crap, so that's good for you.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I really am.
I can't tell if you're saying good for me for sparking a joint or for graduating with a math degree, but...
No, your math
I'll
degree,
take the
stupid. Yeah, so we stumbled upon this show... Obviously, because it's a Netflix original, and Netflix was like, please watch my stuff.
Oh my god.
Please watch my stuff.
Netflix does sort of promote their own content as if they were like an ex-girlfriend desperate to get back into your life. Like, they'll send you email. Like, you don't get this because you don't pay for Netflix's account. But they send me emails like every 2 days about the new shit that's on there.
Oh, really?
This is why I call the title of this podcast is Netflix Has No Chill, because... They do not quit.
Nah, you called it that because you made a mouth typo, so...
I did make...
Let's be real.
No. I just mean the podcast is called that because in more ways than one, like, they also, like, contact me too frequently. I'm sure I can turn that off, but I also want to know how creepy they're being.
Yeah.
How pushy.
And they're being pretty good with their... I see billboards... For Netflix stuff now, when I thought only billboards were for lost children and movies.
True.
And
we also live in Los Angeles, so there's a
lot
of billboards.
That's true. But I don't know. know. I wonder if I go somewhere else, like back to Arizona, if it's gonna have Netflix billboards out like in Phoenix.
Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting.
Maybe that's just LA game, but they certainly promote their own content more heavily than stuff that they've just acquired.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which I feel a little bad because part of why we were creating this podcast was in order to watch all that stuff that's in the background.
Right. All
that
the
nobody's
kind of
really watching.
Stuff that doesn't cut
in
the filter.
But then I'm so drawn in to, because they market it so well. The thumbnails are so good. Their little trailers that
like,
you're forced to watch are really good.
Yes. They don't do that for old content or stuff that isn't theirs. Like, they don't have the cool autoplay trailers. It's just a still thumbnail
for some of them, yeah.
For some of the older stuff that they've acquired. So, like, the new stuff is shiny. It's got, they've got the cool vertical slices and
yeah.
It's Netflix, ever changing.
Yeah.
So one of their shows is this show with David Letterman. Came out in January of this year, 2018. They release new episodes, it seems like, every month, but I don't know if that's still going to continue.
Yeah.
If it's only going to be 6 episodes or if there's going to be more, I'm not sure.
Like, are we going to go to seasons?
Yeah,
are
is it going to be like season 2 is another 6 eps? What's the deal here,
yeah, David
Letterman?
Yeah, I don't
really
know how this
hard
is going.
Is this to produce? Like, come on. You did it every night for years.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Clearly you can do this at a volume. Why is it now suddenly 1 month and maybe if it's only seasons once a year? You know what I mean? It's a very different thing.
Yeah. It's also interesting because I feel like I am more drawn to watch David Letterman this way than I was on his show.
100%.
And I don't know if it's because his show just has more gimmicks to it or has more of like little sketches that I'm not here for that.
It feels like it's trying really hard to be funny.
Yeah.
Which isn't really what I want from something called a talk show.
Yeah. I want exactly what this show is, which is just a visual podcast.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And it's interesting because I'm getting to see so many different characters and so many different people that I already see in the media, but I'm seeing them on a human level.
Yeah.
Now, which is great.
Yeah. Which is what I've always loved about podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Is that they're just kind of this open, freeform dialogue.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see Dave Letterman move into that space, but in a way that he's comfortable. Because, I mean, like, he's still a 71-year-old man.
That's insanity to me.
Yeah.
That's insanity.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I just feel like he's much younger.
He does not act 71.
No.
Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I've known 71-year-olds.
Yes. Maybe times are changing. You know, 71
maybe,
is the new 40.
Yeah, it's the new 41.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Maybe it
I
is.
I didn't even put it. It's just 40.
Okay, yeah. See, I feel like... Okay, so let's first... Can we just discuss the beard? And how we both
yes.
feel about that,
yeah.
Because I feel like that is the major kind of aesthetic change to this show.
Yes. One of them.
He has a massive bushy white beard and very little white hair on top of his head. He would be a great Santa Claus.
No, he would be a great skinny hipster Santa Claus is what he is.
Santa Claus. That's what David Letterman looked like.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I really like it.
I like it, too.
I like his beard.
I think it works for him. It's an interesting new step for him. And I always sort of saw it as him, like, hiding how young he was.
Huh.
Like, trying to act older. Like,
yeah.
I thought he was 57 trying to act 70. Not he is that and had a child when he was 57. Like, that was insane to me.
Yeah. No, I feel like it's another... It's another chapter. I feel like he probably had almost what's more than a midlife crisis? Like, not a quarter life crisis, but a three quarters life crisis.
Yeah, three quarter life, your 75% crisis.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel as though David Letterman on TV was this specific looking man.
Yeah.
And I feel that after that chapter of his life ended, he had to change and reinvent himself in some sort of way in order to stop being that David Letterman. Now he has to be older, wiser David Letterman.
Sure.
And he's trying to accept that role or embrace that role even though he's obviously so incredibly vulnerable and has, like, a low self-esteem, I feel, sometimes.
Yeah.
And he shows it. He's very human.
I think, yeah, he's very humble.
Yes.
And he does not believe that he deserves the success that he has achieved, really.
Yeah.
You can kind of, he's at a constant war with his own supposed success and who he feels like he is in any given moment. So, like, the beard is a perfect encapsulation of that kind of quality about him, because in his words he says, I just thought they wouldn't ever hire me again, right? And that's kind of a joke, but it's probably, there's some truth to it.
Yeah. Especially after you find out why.
Oh, okay.
But that's more of a spoiler. So let's go back into the...
Okay, wow.
Let's go back into this.
Spoilers for things that happened already and are public knowledge, except for today.
Except for
excellent
you.
Excellent spoilers.
You, because you don't really...
I am not in the drama world.
Yeah,
I don't care about the behind-the-scenes stories very much.
That's my...
Unless they're insane and they're worth writing about as new characters.
I guess, yeah.
That's my bias.
This last episode we saw, we've seen several.
We've seen all of them except for the one where Jerry Seinfeld interviews David Letterman.
I'm not a huge fan.
Me neither.
Unpopular opinion.
Unpopular opinion. Do not like Jerry Seinfeld. Mm-mm. Have never watched, and that's not true, I've not never watched Seinfeld, but what I have seen, I have not enjoyed.
And I know that it's definitely like, our age, part of it has to do with it. I feel like a lot of people who are a little older and who grew up with that's their friends. And I know you don't like Friends.
But I also don't like Friends.
But it's like something that was so culturally relevant. So I understand the importance of, and I appreciate Jerry Seinfeld.
Sure.
But I just am not.
I also don't like his style of comedy, the way that he
delivers and gives his punch.
I don't like comedians in cars with coffee.
I kind of like that, but that's a different show
Hold on. Just something that pops up right there. That's another title where I'm like, at the end of it, I'm looking back at the sentence I just said, and I'm like, was that right?
Was that right?
Is that the title? So comedians in cars with coffee and calling people on phones and catching croissants? What is it? I don't know what it is. How many C's are there?
Yeah, so that's the only episode we haven't seen, but we've seen all the other ones.
Right, and there's a pretty interesting variety of guests on the Dave Letterman show.
Yeah.
This is the only Dave Letterman show I'm interested in. I'll be honest up front. Coming into this show, not a huge Dave Letterman fan.
Yeah.
We've kind of established that. I just never really liked late night either. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I just have very high, a taste for specific television. Yes. There's very few types of television that I guess I watch. But I was very interested in kind of the cross-section of culture that he captures here. Mm-hmm. And kind of the reason that a lot of these people are chosen is interesting.
Yeah.
So I'll just kind of run through the list of them. Is George Clooney, Tina Fey, Jay-Z, Barack Obama, Malala Yousafzai.
I hope that was correct. We hope, but that's
that was another one of those words where I looked back and went, I hope that was right. And then Howard Stern, which is the easiest one to say. Aside from maybe Jay-Z, which is four letters.
True.
What is his name? Full name? Aaron Carter or whatever? No, not Aaron Carter. What? I'm so sorry. I can never remember his first name. Carter is his last name, right?
Of course.
I know that because of Beyonce.
I cannot remember.
What's his?
For the life of me, Jay-Z.
It would be hilarious if it's actually Aaron Carter. No, because that's a 90s white boy pop star, right? Early 2000s?
It does start, I think, with an A. God, okay. You know, I'm doing all my beehives
Look, you know we lit a joint a minute ago. Remembering facts is one of the downsides. The things that you lose. A skill that just goes right out the window.
Brains is hard. Brains is hard.
Looks like you're fumbling with potatoes. You're just like, brains is hard.
They're brains.
Anyway, so that was the six guests that were on. And the most recent episode we watched was Howard Stern.
Yes.
It was interesting. I don't really know anything about Howard Stern. Never really listened to his radio show. Okay. Know only of, like, other people talking about him.
Hmm. Interesting.
like comedians like Joe Rogan and stuff, and like people who used to work on his show, that kind of thing. So I am not super aware of him, but it's like tangentially aware. I don't know, what was your
I think part of me didn't really, I don't want to say I didn't like Howard Stern, but I think it's just that I saw so much of me in him. We're so similar, as in, like, we just say shit that sometimes we're like, oh, fuck, you know what? I might have fucked up there. And me saying I don't like Howard Stern is exactly how he would say that to about anybody, that he's just like, I kind of know about them. I kind of heard what they do. I don't like them. Until you meet the person and you're like, you know what? You're kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah. He feels like a genuine person, though, after having watched that episode.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, I just feel like in the gossip world that I live in, I've heard so much about him and about unpopular opinions that he has. And so I've just shut off and been like, I don't like you. Mm. But yeah, I completely agree. After watching this, I'm just like, you know what? He's a person.
Yeah.
And
I also, I think that in the time when he was doing that, there wasn't a really like living record of everything you said at any time. Like, that's what we have now with Twitter and the internet is, yeah. Hey, you remember 30. sorry.
I have something in my throat. Breathing is hard.
Living is hard. Okay. It's great podcasting when I almost choked to death on nothing. as I was saying, Howard Stern is now dealing with the fact that there's a record of all of the dumb shit he said as well as the smart shit he said. Mm-hmm. But I also feel for him on a human level, because I'm like, I feel like everybody has the opportunity to say stupid shit constantly. Mm-hmm. Great for some people that keep their mouth shut all the time and that's the way they live. But I also feel like they're robbing the world of good things that they could be saying too. That's a weird tangent.
I only knew him mainly of like all his sexual stuff that he did.
Sure. Yeah, does. I feel like that's what he did. That's a lot. It was like he was very provocative sexually on the radio, and so it was a way for people to kind of masturbate and drive to work because they could fantasize about the porn stars that he was talking to,
or so
the
true.
Like models that he was, you know, like.
Yeah.
He had a huge range of people, so, like, sometimes it was intellectually stimulating, but then also sometimes he would just talk to people about their dicks. Like...
Yeah. Slapping it on pianos, apparently, and stuff like that, so...
Hey, it's, I guess when you're raised in a household that says words mean nothing, it makes sense.
Yeah, but then when you hear also about, which I really appreciate, about a lot of guests, and sometimes their upbringing... or who they are aside from this persona that everybody sees them as, you kind of see who they are and you understand a little more why they are the way they are.
Yeah.
And with him, Howard Stern, especially, it's just, you know, he didn't think his dad really put a lot of attention to him. So, and his dad being a radio engineer, he's like, oh, I've got to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, just like also his upbringing with school kids and everything, the somewhat tough life he had. But I'm like, how tough was it though?
I don't know. I mean, I agree that there are far tougher, like, it's hard to watch Howard Stern after watching like Malala's story. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, where
in no way are their upbringings as equally difficult.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's claiming that.
Yeah, but maybe her story, too, is also just incredible.
Yeah.
She's just an incredible human being.
Certainly that.
Incredible human being who doesn't really fully comprehend social cues.
Yeah. Well, I think I wonder if it's, like, a cultural difference or if it's a genuine just, like a quirk about her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, she's such a person who's so focused on making the world better that, like, even some in, like, she has, like, small hiccups in interpersonal connections because she's just like, how does that relate to the fucking world? What are you talking about?
Yeah. And she's so grown up.
Yeah.
She's so grown up, like, and so mature for a young lady. And I don't know what clicked in her brain or what her mom drank while she was pregnant
with
her.
Just think about this. Malala, but at the age where she could have a Dave Letterman beard. You know, if she was a man. You know what I mean? Like, 70-year-old
so much in the world,
Malala.
Though.
You know
she's
what I mean?
She's
like that. She will be a person who goes down in human history as a good person.
She's gonna be a saint. She's gonna be like another Mother Teresa.
Yeah, but okay. First of all, what has Mother Teresa really done?
I don't know.
See that?
And
first
I went
of
to
all,
Catholic
that
school.
Yeah. Okay.
She
and there are people
miracle.
Who, you know, made vaccines who did way more shit than save one person in a miraculous way. So Malala, I think Malala is far more deserving of that kind of I don't know, idolization almost.
Yeah.
Like, she is someone that I think deserves to be listened to, not only given her upbringing, but also what she's done since then. Like, mm-hmm. It's not been a detractor.
Yeah. And then another interesting person that was interviewed, George Clooney.
Yeah.
I've only seen George Clooney, of course, as this mega superstar actor.
Yeah.
And to see George Clooney in his true colors, gotta say, I'm not a fan.
Really?
I'm not a fan of George Clooney.
Interesting.
I think he's very into himself. Like, in
certainly.
A, like, of course, like, he just admits a lot of the time his luck. You know, and being handsome and landing these amazing roles and then being a part of huge movies.
Yeah.
But, and then marrying a beautiful woman.
Sure. Who, but when you're a beautiful man,
yeah,
that's
exactly,
that what the hand gets dealt to
you. I know, but
you.
She's a lawyer. Wait, is she a lawyer? That's what she was, right? And then like.
She's like an activist lawyer, I believe.
Yeah. She's got.
She just happens to also be incredibly gorgeous. Yeah.
Just all the brains. It's insanity. And for him to be like, oh, and I'm saving the world. I'm just like, you're not Bill Nye. But.
Another Netflix original series we may talk about at some point.
But.
Also, I think the other Bill Gates, does way more than anybody to actually save the world. Like, he's probably saved is going to save probably like a billion people in his lifetime. Like the work he will do.
Another
as a
saint.
Philanthropist. Yeah. He's like quiet
noticed.
Dudes just grinding it out. Dudes and ladies just in the quiet, you know, just like we're doing the work. So that's what I like. There's like an interesting cross section of that, of like high celebrity and fame, but also like political power and then like just like cultural power.
Yep.
Because that's what Howard Stern had.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Especially when you see all the footage or the pictures
yeah.
from the past. That's also something I really like, that
they do this
weird thing of breaking away from this intimate space.
Yeah.
In front of 50 or so people.
Yeah.
But they break away to either different scenes of a similar story, something that's still connected, or just to like information.
Yeah. Just like a completely random ass thing.
Yeah. And
yeah, I love it.
Yeah. I do too. It gives me like a little moment to breathe and
yeah.
to remember that this is like television.
Totally.
Yeah. Cause then it just feels like I'm just watching these people talk.
Yeah.
Instead of.
You're just like a little too close.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
you can see where the audience is
mm-hmm.
and then it cuts closer and you're
mm-hmm.
just like suddenly just like super close to Dave Letterman. And then all of a sudden you like see where the rest of the people are and you're like, I should be with
I
them.
I should be over there. Why
yeah.
am I all up in his beard?
Yes.
But I like too that it's in this theater setting.
Yeah.
It's a naked stage.
Yeah.
Just black and maybe some colors in the background
just
because the lighting person had to be paid. And so you have that, two chairs on stage, and then maybe 50 people. I don't know, with Jay-Z, it was literally like 10. They were probably like, I'm only doing this interview if
it's like 20 people that
if
I
it's
bring.
Less, if it's less, then you know, maybe 10 people.
Beyonce gets to see the whole list.
She needs to sit up there.
She'll be here, but not on camera.
So,
I hope that's what
it
was.
I like Jay-Z's interview, too.
I enjoyed his,
that was
yeah.
a really good one.
Yeah.
And then there was Tina Fey.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Tina Fey's, but I feel like out of all of them, she was maybe one of the weaker ones.
Yeah, I would say maybe Netflix do 5.
I'm just kidding.
No, I enjoyed Tina Fey just because I am more in the writing world than you. So there was an interesting, like, my own interests were represented there.
Don't get me wrong. I love Tina Fey. I agree. I'm not saying
But that. Out of the six, she has probably the least cultural impact so far.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah.
Globally speaking. True. Which is what I liked. It wasn't just an American-focused thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it is a fairly global in terms of impact.
I hope they do welcome more Shades of the Rainbow, too.
Uh-huh.
Because
totally agree.
I feel like it was 90% Americans, and I'd like to see some more color in there. Mexicans or Hispanics or Latinx. I agree. And...
yeah.
Just saying.
They only had 6 episodes. You can only get so many.
And all of them have so far been... I don't want to say.
Only 3 of them are white, and one of them is a Jew.
White.
I agree. But,
white.
But especially persecuted white.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, true. There's this weird subsection of Jew, of white that is Jew. Now, I guess.
Yeah.
No, we've redefined it. See, the problem is that all of these words mean nothing because we constantly change them but never redefine them.
True, but...
So now white has a subsection, which is Jew, which apparently got lumped. Like, they are separate because there's
Israel. At some point, they were...
like, Israel, but it's also close to, like, Greece and Italy, which are now white, too. So I'm like, is all of Europe and then also parts of... Yeah, I don't get it. Like, Israel, Turkey's between them. So, does Turkey count? Like, how's... I don't get it.
White.
Okay. Anyways, there are George Clooney, Tina Fey, and Howard Stern. And then there was Jay-Z, Malala, and Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was only half white. And one of them was a Jew, that's my point.
Okay.
Who
was your favorite?
That's a good question. I would probably say Malala's.
Okay.
And then, man, Jay-Z and Barack, they were just so good, too. Barack Obama's was great just because I love that was the last one we decided to kind of talk about. Like, we've touched on all of them, but the unconscious choice for the list was, let's put Barack at the end. Because, man, was he a great president. And, wow.
I just can't go there.
It was actually, like, partially difficult to watch that episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and it's funny because Dave says it in the episode. He's like, yeah, you're still the president, right?
Yeah.
Mr. President, what do you think, Mr. President?
We're still in this time of denial, like, of, like,
yeah.
Is this real? Did this really happen?
Yeah.
How did we go so
Well, it's
backwards.
A pendulum. Like, we... Our forefathers were making an idea, two-party system, let's do it as a pendulum, bong, 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 just like back and forth down this maze of reality.
Yeah.
Anyways, Trump is president. So the 6 episodes I thought were a great kind of cross-section. I'm very interested to see 6 more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially if it just keeps going, because I'm like, you can make one of these a month, bitch.
Yeah, and he does it just almost in the same format as his TV show. You know, it starts out with a monologue, and then...
Sort of. It's not even really a monologue.
It's like a
30-second introduction.
No, he does bits in the beginning, where it's just a monologue, which is
okay,
how he would open
right.
up his TV show.
Sure,
you know,
sure,
he just goes on and talks.
But it doesn't feel written like a monologue.
I don't know. I feel it.
Okay.
And then maybe monologue is not the correct word. In Spanish, it's
that. Okay.
And then afterwards, he seems to ask the audience if they know who's coming. And that is kind of surprising to me because I don't know if these people do know who they're about to see or if it's a surprise.
Right.
Which I'm just like, that's amazing if it's just a surprise. People just and they're like, who are we going to see today?
But I mean...
But how fucked up is it if you're like me or you and we go and we're like, oh, we're going to see somebody and then it's Jerry fucking Seinfeld. Like, I would be like, no!
I would walk out.
No!
I would definitely consider walking out.
I would like, just stand up and go, not interested, and walk away.
Your guess, you should have got an introduction, because I would not have been here.
Yeah, but that's an interesting idea. And then...
Yeah, that finally... is strange, because also, the two things. One, if the president or a former president, like, there had to have been people there, like, with Obama.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
Like, security? Like,
I feel like there probably would have been more security.
Oh, no, there was definitely. I think in this episode, if you look.
I'm sure you're, like,
I saw
dudes
them.
Around.
I saw them all.
You can't like, just not be president.
No, they and, had to, like, you like just pat people down.
Take the suit
no,
off no, no, and. No, yeah, like, you can't. Okay, so as an audience member, you're going, like, where? Why? Who the fuck is? Is it Trump? And then you're like, it's Obama?
It
are
like
you
fucking I'm going to shit
my
like,
pants in that
prince.
Moment.
But yeah, same thing.
The prince, okay. The royal family from the country that we broke off
is it
from.
Meghan Markle? Is it Meghan Markle?
Meghan Markle.
Yeah,
but then the second part is, what if you see, and then you come back and you finally see the show that's aired now, and you're like, Obama was one of the guests?
Yeah.
I saw fucking George Clooney. I could have seen Obama.
Okay. You can you
see, but then
know.
You just
you
said that
I
you
saw
don't
Jerry
really
Seinfeld
like him.
Okay, okay, okay. Okay. Yeah. Obama.
Just keep
he
the Jerry
George Clooney.
Kick him while he's on top.
Seriously. He's fine. Yeah. And then after it goes straight into the interview, like as soon as he introduces them, it's just like, boom, we're here.
Let's yeah, they're pretty straight into it. It's clear that he has, like, a large list of questions. Like, I love that, like, giant blue piece of paper he always has.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are, they start pretty personal. And for, like, how did you, where did you come from? Who are you? Like, yeah. what was your upbringing? And then what have you done?
Mm-hmm.
Et cetera, et cetera. So it follows his normal interview kind of pattern. Yeah. But they're very, very personal.
Yeah.
And very conversational. And he is... very open about a lot of things, and there's also a somewhat conversation going on in that the other person often asks questions of him.
Yeah, and which he gets very uncomfortable. I feel like he likes talking about himself, but to a certain point, because of what happened, because of why he's no longer on the air.
Okay.
And it's,
why is that? I honestly don't know.
Because
I just thought he was like, fuck this show.
Huge drama. But it goes along with the Me Too movement.
Okay.
And he was apparently being accused of having relations with several of his co-stars or people that work there. One of them being an intern who was like 21 when she went in there. But it's he was pardoned for it, which a lot of females were just kind of like, how dare you? But at the same time, I'm like, but you gotta, like, let's dive in a little further and just understand the facts. Because it seems like this might have been a mutual relationship between a grown woman. I don't know. I don't know exactly.
Yeah.
But it's like, the only reason he was in trouble was because a guy was threatening him to blackmail him if he didn't pay him a certain amount of money.
Okay.
He would blackmail him and let everybody know the names of the ladies that he was involved with. And
okay.
It's really, yeah. And the funny thing is, this man who was threatening him was actually dating that intern.
Wow.
Which is why he knew about all the secrets of David Letterman because she was yeah, exactly. So I'm not blaming anybody in this situation. Maybe the guy who was threatening, I'm blaming him, but he already got in trouble because he got sued for $2 million.
Whoa, rough.
Which I think actually he had to pay. So
man, I have like a little bit of credit card debt.
But
$2 million to Dave Letterman.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, God. Yeah. I'd probably just kill myself.
Yeah, no, I can't pay this. I can't pay this.
I wanted to.
Oh my God.
I wanted to make $2 million for myself. I didn't want to make $2 million
somebody $2 million.
Give it to David Letterman.
No.
And then try to make $2 million.
I'm sure he doesn't need $2 million. But either way.
Well, he does after he gets fired from the fucking Tonight Show.
Yeah, and it's crazy because he was on air for 33 years.
That is insane.
With that show.
Yes. And finally retired.
Right. Hey, whatever.
Yeah. And he was replaced.
At fucking, what, like 69, 68 is when he retired?
Giggity.
In 2015 he retired, so.
Yeah, and then he was replaced by Stephen Colbert.
Right. Which is whatever.
Yeah, which I'm just like, you know, if you had to replace him with somebody, I'm glad it's not Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, God, I hate Jimmy Fallon. Those late night shows are garbage. Lip sync battles, fucking shoot me in the face. You know
what? I'm into that.
Shoot me right fucking... No, I gotta do it right here, right? No, you can't do it here because it'll split the brain if you go straight back and you might not die.
Okay, so I'm gonna switch the conversation.
13 Reasons. Another Netflix
Tonight's episode is all about naming all these other Netflix
It's just seeds we're planting for future episodes, which will blossom in your podcast feed soon.
Out of a scale.
I was just gonna ask you that.
Too bad it'd be
craziest thing. Like, not on a list or anything. I was just like, I wonder what you would rate this. What scale were you gonna say?
So I was gonna go like something small, like 1 to 5.
Sure, yeah, that works for me.
So 1 to 5 on the count of 3. Let's say
on the number. Count of 3, we're gonna pick a number between 1 and 5, which we're gonna repeat 6 times.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
3.5.
Okay.
I wanna see it again. See where it goes.
Okay.
Cause I think some of the midpoint, like mid-episode segments, are very disjointed. And I think there is an opportunity to do something very interesting there, which he has created for himself, but he doesn't capitalize on yet.
Yeah. Howard Stern also said something interesting. He was like, why the audience?
Yeah.
Like, why not try something different where it's literally just two people having a conversation?
Because my...
Which I thought was a great idea, because I also thought the same thing when I started watching the show. I was like, I wonder why.
What? I want David Letterman to do Anthony Bourdain's show. I want him to do that style show where he's just doing something. Like, the segments themselves are great. I wish there was more of them in the episode, or the guest was also in that environment with him. Like, when he's going on the tour with Malala in that episode, like, that's probably my favorite part of the entire show.
That was
because
great.
It's such a snippet of who he is. Because
and who she is.
And who she is, yeah, because this is who she chooses to be in her daily life.
Yeah. She's just so mature that the whole time she's just like, David Letterman, grow the fuck up.
I'm trying to give a tour.
I'm trying.
We're at fucking Oxford right now. Do you understand that?
Like, he's just like, well, what's this?
I survived a terrorist attack to be here. All right? Will you quit fucking around?
David Letterman's like, and I survived the 2009 ratings.
He's like, well, you didn't get fired from a late night show.
I don't know. It's very interesting. You're correct in that it would be fun to watch those cutaways more.
Yeah. I think there's an interesting opportunity for them to then do the interview show and either sit down in a studio somewhere, or even when he's at the recording studio for that episode. Like, there's a random thing where he's just at some recording studio listening to something, and it's beautiful.
This might have been the Jay-Z episode.
I think that might have been, but maybe it wasn't. I honestly don't remember. This is why. They're so disjointed. True. It should be with that person doing something that they're interested in, they're passionate about, that isn't necessarily who they were in the public sphere, and showing what they're contributing to humanity or what they're doing in their own life, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. But with David Letterman in an intimate setting, and you can contrast that with an audience setting, which is where Dave is very comfortable and made his bread and butter with. But I think there's an interesting opportunity here, and I hope they evolve as a show.
Maybe. I think they're definitely going to stick to this format.
Sure.
Because now they've created a brand. They can't, like, we're only going to do whatever the other
cutaways. I mean, Netflix is saying do what you want. So maybe he's just a wind-up toy and he's found a new path to wind up on. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, Howard Stern asking him about that, and then them having a segment at the very end this time that should have been with him.
Howard Stern, but...
Yeah, he didn't show up for it. No. And it was going to be a disjointed thing, but you would have seen a whole other side of Howard Stern with
that. Yeah. A little more political. Which probably, I'm like, that's different.
Probably much more free-flowing. The one thing that I don't like about it right now is that it feels so choppy. I wish it was twice as long. Like, if they were movie length for all of them, I would watch probably them.
Yeah.
Like, it was 2 hours with Barack Obama, and half of it was them, I don't know.
Or Jay-Z.
Visiting Japan. Yes. I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the topics are incredible and are interesting, and...
I agree. He gets into very in-depth conversations. I wish they weren't as choppy.
Yeah, but yeah. But maybe they're going to find their flow. They're going to know what works, what doesn't.
Yeah.
And with people voicing their opinions, too, they'll understand, just like this one. Yeah. Maybe, who knows? They'll be like,
I definitely would recommend it to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope 3.5 out of 5 doesn't sound like a bad rating.
But I would recommend Evil Genius even more.
Really? Because I feel like that show didn't do a great job of... Okay, sorry. We don't have to talk about Evil Genius. Because we're talking about Dave Letterman still.
Yeah.
And this guest needs no introduction. My next guest needs none of the introductions that I usually give from David Letterman.
Yeah. David Letterman?
You've probably seen things about it on Netflix. If you've gone on Netflix in the last week, you definitely know it's there. Yeah. I'm just telling you it's worth checking out. That's what this whole episode has been.
Yep.
Thanks for listening.
I recommend. Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely say it's worth listening.
Yeah.
Listening, checking out. It's like, honestly, you can just put it on because there's so little going on during the actual interview segments often that
you don't need like to you watch were painting your nails. Yeah.
Like, it's a great background show for those types of things if that's how you consume television sometimes, too.
My nails are now white.
What else? Where else would you, who else would you watch? Like, if you were with a group of people, who would the people be that you would watch this with?
Maybe, like, my sister and my brother-in-law.
Okay.
I would watch this with them.
Sure, especially like Barack Obama, Jay-Z.
Yeah, especially because we just watch television. Like that's a lifestyle for us. That's how we talk, I feel, sometimes, and hang out. So that's definitely something that I would watch with them. It's not something that I would watch with like a friend coming over, be like, "Hey, let's watch this."
Interesting. Okay.
What about you?
I think I'd probably, I don't know, like, certainly my, like, family or whatever I'd watch this with, because I know my dad definitely watches late-night television shows. But I also think, like, this is a, I don't know, if I was having, like, a dinner party, and I wanted to, I don't know, spark a conversation or something, or if it was a specific type, like, group of people coming, maybe, like, intellectuals or, like if I was... like hanging out with college professors. I don't know what I think of that, but I just think that there is one episode in here that anybody can look at and go, yeah, and say, wow, that's interesting. I am interested in that person. I like their work, or I don't like that person, or like, but I'm interested in what they want to say, or I like David Letterman, or I don't know about David Letterman, but I
just
want to
know
Jay-Z.
More about somebody. Like, I want to get a firm feeling, because Howard Stern, I didn't like him. And now
I wouldn't
have
started
like,
with Howard Stern. But I like that each time they have a new episode, because it's a month apart, they're able to kind of separate it out and make it a thing. So if he does 12 episodes a year, that'd be super cool. But I think it's going to be 6 episodes a year.
By the way, I realized right now that when I said like and then I didn't finish the sentence, it was because I made a face. So I figured everybody could see my face when I was like, I feel this way about David Letterman. I had my head tilted to the side.
It's
my,
a look of disgust.
I thought it was like, okay.
Oh.
Okay.
To me, that looks like, sort of like someone farted near your face and you're not unhappy about it because it doesn't smell too bad, but you're just like,
it's a Robert De Niro face.
It is a Robert De Niro face. Like, you're kind of saying,
okay.
But then when you watch the Barack Obama episode, you're just like, wow, he was our president.
I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
Wow, I voted for that.
Yeah, I did. All right, so quote of the day.
Well, on that fun note, what is your quote of the day from the show?
I'm intimidated, and I'm here.
Which episode is that?
Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe Obama. It was the Barack Obama one.
Thank you, Obama.
I'm intimidated, there's a reason and I'm why. Here.
I'm intimidated, and I'm here.
Yeah, which I think is a great way to think about your life.
100%.
Because you're just like, anybody I'm intimidated, I'm here. Because it means two things. It means, like, you're scared and you acknowledge it, but it also means you're intimidated, but you're strong.
Right,
like,
there's a courage to it.
Yeah, exactly. And right, I love that. I love that. When I heard it, I was like...
That's great. Yeah. Yeah, and that feels like such a true insight to who he is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So... Say that to yourself every day. Wake up and be like, I'm intimidated, and I'm here.
And I'm here.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
And they frequently talk about how awful it is, at least in the Howard Stern episode, that there is an audience.
Yeah, we suck. People suck.
Yeah, just human beings.
The bystanders.
You, like, honestly, like, you're one of the only ones I want to hang out with. Well, that's why I'm talking to the internet, so that I don't have to see other human beings.
Like, I don't have to see them. We could just talk.
We can just hope people are listening.
And then and you don't read have to their hear messages them.
When I'm ready.
No, fuck that. I ain't listening to them.
I ain't listening to that.
JK, just I'm going to watch those.
If you want to send us messages, let us know. We're going to make an email, I promise.
I have no friends.
There will be a bumper at some point that says, here's our email.
It's just Zachariah.
Maybe it's just the beginning.
It's just Zachariah. Don't give away my full name.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. This has been a fun ep.
Yeah.
Go watch the Dave Letterman thing
on Netflix.
And I'm here.